So you might notice our guest today, Jesselyn, was our special guest last night. She is a friend for the last 4 years. I'll let her explain all that. And we are thrilled to death that she was finally able to come to North Carolina, be with us for the weekend, and be able to be with the worship team. And if you missed last night, we did record it. We will put it out. I highly advise that you dig into it from a mental health standpoint and knowing how to love on each other and be able to be there for each other with our different uniquenesses as a community. And so she was kind enough to say she'd sing with us, and she's going to do a song later. And she's also going to be grilled with questions by me now. So, Jesselyn, come up. Switching mics on you. But that's the one you had last night. Oh, I don't want to forget. Hold on.
I'm kind of nervous.
Not be nervous
what
about.
Say. I
mean, it's not like you didn't know, but.
Okay, so last night, if y'all weren't here, if any of you weren't here, he said, first of all, I have a contract. I don't have a contract.
Extensive, 20 pages.
No. And then he said, and she will only eat blue M&Ms. I never said I would only eat blue M&Ms, but thank you.
Well, Jenny was part of it, and she was getting it. She's like, well, do you think you want to take them? I don't even know if she likes M&Ms.
Oh, I love
But
M&Ms.
they're under contract.
There is no
Okay.
contract.
So we can get, so we'll dig in. I'm going to get my questions out. For those who missed, just to kind of bring them up a little bit, do you want to kind of encapsulate everything you shared in about 32 seconds? No, just share like just your general vision, why you came,
Okay.
what we've been talking about.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me here too. I'm from North Carolina, and I met Pastor Tom back during the COVID, when COVID was going on, and I saw his YouTube series on mental health, and I just was so happy to see it. And all of his t-shirts. He's wearing my favorite one today, broken
For
crayon
you, yeah.
steel color. So after I saw that YouTube series, I knew I wanted to connect with Pastor Tom because he's very passionate about mental health and I'm very passionate about mental health. I've lived with a mental health condition for over 2 decades now, and it has taken me a long time to have the confidence and the bravery to come out and speak about living with bipolar 1 disorder. Bipolar 1 disorder is a mood disorder. It's basically where you can have a lot of highs and a lot of lows, and the goal is to kind of find yourself in the middle somewhere. But I came in to talk about that and also to talk about the importance of, you know, within church, building stigma-free churches and helping others in the church who live with a mental health condition, and how we can talk to them and how we can support them. And, you know, basically, it's the same as supporting somebody with a physical illness. There is no difference between somebody living with a mental illness and a physical illness. You know, we don't flinch or blink to pray for somebody with a physical illness, but sometimes when we hear the word bipolar or schizophrenia or, you know, PTSD, it's like, oh, you know, it's a little bit of a, we just don't hear it. And that's why it's so important that we have these conversations and that we start normalizing these conversations so people within the church feel comfortable, you know, to start opening up a little bit about it. And that's exactly what had happened with my story. I was listening to a message from my pastor one Sunday. It was January of last year, and the title of the message was, "What Does the Bloodstained Cross Mean to You? And What Are You Going to Do About It?" And I had known for a while that, you know, he was telling me, you know, "I really want you to do something with your mental health. You know, I think that's where you need to be." And I knew it, but I was really scared. I was really scared to talk to other people about what I've lived with, what my family has gone through. And I didn't feel equipped. You know, I didn't feel like I was equipped to talk with people. I wasn't a mental health professional. I didn't go to school for, you know, theology, and I just didn't feel equipped. Well, last year, God has provided the tools and he has equipped me. And, you know, I honestly think that's why we connected too, because it was finally the right time for me to come and for us to have this conversation. But last night was all about, you know, why spirituality and faith is so important within the church, and, you know, how we can help our brothers and sisters who do live with a mental health condition.
That was good. Here, have an M. Good job. Okay, I'm going to take one too. I've done a good job today. So last night you shared some statistics, and one of the frustrating things about statistics is that we usually, by the time we know them, it's 3 or 4 years, 5 years later. So one of the ones that stood out to me was 1 out of 5 people experience mental health once a year annually, and that was in 2020. And you and I talked a little bit yesterday about COVID coming in. What do you think? Do you think those numbers have increased?
You know, from what I've learned, it is 1 in 5 people will experience a mental health condition every year. It's 60 million Americans every single year live with a mental health condition. So, you know, those numbers are astronomical.
Do you think it's just gut feeling? Do you think it's worse after COVID?
Yes.
Like it's probably increased too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, and then you talked some about power sharing stories, and we talk a lot about testimonies, and that when we have a testimony, again, that's life was sucky, God stepped in, this is what it looks like now, that we're responsible to hold on to those to remind ourselves during tough times, but also to share with others so that they know the goodness of God. You were talking about the same thing from a standpoint of the importance of sharing stories when it comes to mental health. Did you want to talk about that just a little bit more? So I agree.
It is. I mean, it is important to share stories. I never realized how important it was to share my lived experience, and I never knew what that impact could have on somebody else. So lived experience is very important. Hearing the stories from the caretakers of people who live with mental health conditions is very important. The caretaker role is just as important as a person who lives with the mental health condition. It's very difficult, you know. It can put a lot of strain on your family, and especially when you're just in the thick of it, in the beginning of everything, and you're trying to figure out, you know, what the best treatment plan is for you. You know, it's not been an easy road. It's been a very, very rocky, long road, and it took many, many years till I figured out what that treatment plan was. And, you know, another thing, too, people need to understand is that sometimes it is okay if you have to take medication. You know, sometimes it's okay, you know, for that period of time so that person can be the best version of themselves. You know, sometimes that's necessary. And sometimes, like for serious mental illnesses such as schizophrenia or bipolar disorder, medication is just, it just goes with it. You know, it's just a thing we have to do, just like somebody taking medication for their high blood pressure. So, you know, again, it needs to be looked at in the same regard as people with physical illness. But lived experience is huge. I never realized, I was also saying last night, I got the opportunities to serve with NAMI, which is the National Alliance for Mental Illness, on their helpline for 6 months. And that was the most awesome experience I had. I never thought that I was going to be in the place to be able to help somebody else. And, you know, once I got done with those 6 months, I just knew this is something I wanted to do. I knew this is the area God wanted me to serve. And so I've just been trying to listen to his voice and listen when he says that door is going to open for you to go that way, just like the door opened for me to come here to Marion, Ohio. I just went.
So you brought, I'm going to jump over to this because you were talking about medication. Last night afterwards, we were talking about what a lot of people struggle with, and you had that fancy name for it. I'm not sure if I'm going to put you on the spot. Let's see if you can remember it again. But the where people struggling with mental health oftentimes will either struggle with going to a counselor or struggle not wanting to have medicine, and then they have medicine and they get the feeling better and they go, oh, I don't need the medicine anymore, and then it train wrecks again. Do you remember that fancy word?
Anosognosia.
There you go. That's my next tattoo. But if people are here that are that struggle with that or have been through that and whatnot, what kind of encouragement? Because you shared that you've been through that several times as well. But so what encouragement would you share when it comes to like counseling, medicines? Again, there's a lot of stigma to go into the psych world if you need to and spend some time there. What kind of encouragement would you give in that area?
First of all, community is everything. I had learned that during my journey, a lot of it I tried to handle by myself. Well, it doesn't work that way. It's not healthy to try to just handle it by yourself. You need people, and people can just, when you find your people, the people who get you and understand you, I mean, it's the biggest thing. You know, they can keep you going. Yeah. And when I found my community within NAMI, and then at the same time, I found my purpose, I felt like I had a reason to keep going on and to keep fighting, you know? You just have to, you know, as you go through your journey, therapy is very important if you need it. Medication is very important if you need it. In the beginning, I did just that because it's basically like they're trying you on these different medications to see which one's going to work for you. And some of these medications have high side effects, and they can make you gain a bunch of weight or make you very tired. I mean, the side effects are really severe. And I would do that. I would get on it, I would start to feel better, and then I would take myself off of it, and it would repeat like that. I had this conversation with somebody here this morning. I had a doctor fire me one time because I did it so many times, and he's like, if you're not going to listen to me, if you're not going to listen to my expert medical opinion here, then you might need to go somewhere else to seek help, you know? But that then, when I started working a little bit with NAMI, I learned that term, anosognosia, and it is very common. It is very common for people with schizophrenia or bipolar disorder to do that. You know, it's actually part of the illness.
To quit taking the medicine because you feel better.
Yeah. And everybody's different. I had to find exactly what worked for me, and it's a combination of things. But on the other hand, too, when I finally crossed that line, and what keeps me going is having a solid foundation with God and having my faith with Him. I know with Him, I'm going to be okay. It's when I try to handle things on my own, I was never okay. But even now, if I start to spiral, even now, if I start to go back into the depression, there were times I didn't know if it was going to be okay, you know? But I know without a doubt that I will be okay, and I'm able to keep continuing and going on. It's putting on that full armor of God. And that is very, very important to me. And I had to know that. I had to fully trust God that I was going to be okay, because this is an ongoing journey. It's a chronic condition. It's an everyday thing where you don't know from one day to the next what's going to affect you. Life stressors can affect your illness, you know? My best advice is to always have your eyes fixed on the cross and your eyes fixed on Jesus, and He's going to see you through.
True. It's a lot of Jesus talk for church. You're laying it on heaven. No. So last night you talked about, and this resonated with me, again, I learned a little bit more as far as like some of the age ranges where some of these things start to become prevalent in your life, or when the symptoms start showing and whatnot. And it was higher than I thought on some of them, to be honest. So in teen years, and again, that could be any age. But you talked about early identification and the importance of early identification. Do you want to just talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. Suicide is now the second leading cause of death in the United States. These mental health conditions can start early, you know. They can start at age 14. My symptoms started for me at 23. And what I have learned is that living with my type of condition, most of the time, you know, you will you will have symptoms by the time you're 25. It's between that age time, age phase or whatever time frame. It is so important to recognize the signs early on, and sometimes it's hard to recognize those signs early on. So we need to know what those signs are. We don't want to wait till it gets to the crisis point, and it's to catch it beforehand, before it gets to the crisis point. And what I also learned is a lot of times the church is also often the first point of contact. This is where people want to come to get help and to be understood. And that's why it's so important we give them that foundation where they can feel comfortable and safe enough to open up and not have to keep this inside. There were so many times where I would go to church when I was able to go to church, and I'd be sitting in the pew seat, and the pastor would start talking, and everything he would say, would just get me really upset with everything I was going through, or we sing a worship song, and the lyrics would just get me really upset, and I would just break down right there in the pew, and I'd break down so bad, I would have to get up and leave, because it was too much, you know? I was carrying that load all by myself, and we're not supposed to do that. We're not supposed to carry that kind of weight. We're not meant to carry that kind of weight, right? Right. So, what? Do I get another
No, because you you didn't really resolve that sentence. You just, and then you looked at me, and I didn't know what to do, so.
Oh, I'm sorry.
As far as early identification, that would be important within that is if you're noticing signs in yourself or someone that you love, not trying to excuse those away because of your own uncomfortability.
Right.
So, and we'll finish up with this, but like talking about the Christian community aspect of it, I was just meeting with a newer friend of mine over this weekend and was talking about past church hurt because you kind of start solid and then maybe they start to notice a tick, or they notice a uniqueness, or they notice signs, and so people start pulling back because of the uncomfortability they have because of their own lack of experience or their own ignorance within that. How would you encourage people that have experienced that? I mean, we talked about the need of the church to step in and just make this normal, because it is, a conversation. But how would you encourage people who maybe have been hurt before?
I've been hurt before. I've had somebody.
I'm sorry.
Actually, and I could probably eat this after I tell you what I'm about to tell you. There was one time somebody who didn't understand because they just lacked the awareness. And that's most of the time what it is. People just don't really understand. They don't have the awareness of what living with a mental health condition is. But somebody told me, maybe you're not praying enough, or maybe it's because of your sin that you are living with a mental health condition. That comment broke me. It was so hurtful. I have never prayed so much throughout this journey for God to get me out of this pit when I was in this pit. You know, it's not about praying more, you know. There are so many people, so many spiritual people who can have solid, intimate relationships with Christ and still experience depression, still experience anxiety, still be diagnosed with bipolar disorder, PTSD, you know? It's a condition, and that's what people need to see it as. It's a chronic condition. So that goes along with, you know, being mindful of what we say, thinking before we speak, so we're not saying something that we can't take back, you know? I'm saying, you know, a lot.
I did not notice.
You were answering with yes.
Okay.
We're with you.
Thank you.
And you only said it 12 times.
Is he not awesome?
That's one word. They have to stay here. You get to go back to North Carolina. Not everybody here is like, yeah, he's great. Is there
what? What did she say?
She said something mean about you, and I would not give her any notice. She's our youth minister, and she's pretty jacked up. Is there anything else that you want to share or talk about before you?
I would just say, if you know somebody, if you have a family member, or if you have a friend, a coworker, somebody here at church struggling, you know, the most important thing is, you know something, but it stops there. You know, you don't continue and go with the action. We need to take action. You know, that person needs to know that we care. That person needs to know that we have compassion for them. And, you know, if they need us, they need to know that somebody's going to be there for them. And they don't have to fight this battle all by themselves. You know, even sending a card in the mail or sending a text, you know, something as simple as that can make a huge difference.
Yeah, awesome.